Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast. Here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to another coronavirus episode of Bucher Friendless, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends and part of the United WeCast network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1, hear me on Fox Sports Radio, and read me, well, as I've said before. We are working on that. Hope to have an announcement soon. You can also follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at Rick Bucher. I'm a lot of places. But there's only one place you can hear me talking about story angles and perspectives that you are not likely to find anywhere else, primarily but not exclusively involving the NBA. And that is here. This is being recorded hours after the Los Angeles Lakers clinched the 17th championship in franchise history, LeBron James winning Finals MVP, final score of Game 6, 106-93, the Los Angeles Lakers beating the Miami Heat 4-2. I'm going to talk a little bit about the series and Game 6, but I'm more interested in the bigger picture elements of what the championship means and what we discovered along the way, such as who the ring means the most to, other than obviously LeBron James winning a fourth ring in 10 trips to the NBA Finals, trying to scale the list of all-time greats. As I said on FS1 at one point when the subject came up last week, the idea that this changes the GOAT conversation, as in greatest of all time, does nothing for that. Simply because Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. Even if you go Bill Russell, whoever you go with, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, most people go with Michael Jordan. This doesn't change that conversation, doesn't affect that conversation, because it does not put LeBron James past any one of those players, depending on what the criteria is for you putting them at the top of the mountain. He hasn't done anything that would push him past Kareem, Bill Russell, or Jordan. I'm not saying that all three are ahead of him. I'm just saying that if you are of a mind that one of those three prior to this championship was the GOAT, then LeBron winning a fourth ring doesn't push him past any of the three. Therefore, there can't be a conversation, because there aren't goats, plural. There's a goat, and you either are that or you are not. So there's not a conversation to be had unless there's real grist for making a case that LeBron has surpassed one of those three guys. That can't be made off of this. I'm also the goat. Has been applied now in a multitude of ways, in a multitude of people, in a multitude of fields, and it's been overused. The phrase, I believe, has jumped the shark. I can't wait till we move on to the next thing, and I'm sure that we will. What I'm fascinated by, the biggest question that I want to address in this podcast, is that why LeBron isn't more popular. And so we will finish up with that. But I want to start with, obviously, the breakdown of the series. I'll be honest, I did not watch the second half, or I have yet to watch the second half of Game 6. I will later on tonight, but at halftime, I knew this was over. There wasn't going to be any dramatic comeback. And it was something that I suspected. I was hoping for a Game 7. I was hoping to squeeze as much drama as we could out of this. I thought in some ways it would actually validate the Lakers winning the title, or this remarkable turnaround by the Miami Heat. It would be validation that Jimmy Butler, yes, is a superstar. It would be a validation that the Miami Heat and their culture and their refusal to tank in order to get better, like all of that being rewarded. I'll be perfectly honest. If I was rooting for anything, it was that, because I just appreciate the way Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat in general approach their business. I admire it. I respect it. So it doesn't mean that I'm not happy for plenty of people with the Lakers, and we will get to that. But what we found, even in the Miami Heat wins, were that everything had to go just right for the Miami Heat. They had to get extraordinary performances from a Jimmy Butler, for example, and they had to have LeBron James or Anthony Davis be less than. They had to have Rajon Rondo be less than. They had to have things fall apart or not meet the standard on the Lakers' side of the equation for the Heat to overcome. And I just felt if all things were equal, if both teams brought their A game, the Miami Heat were not going to win. I didn't believe that necessarily coming into the series, but that became evident very quickly that it did. And I overestimated a couple things. Number one, Bam Adebayo. Now, the injury that he suffered in Game 1, the loss of Goran Dragic, yeah, but those things happen. What I saw from Bam Adebayo, particularly in Game 6, told me that he's not ready for this. He's not yet. He had opportunities where this is Game 6, and you're still fighting for your life. And they were daring him to shoot a 15-foot jumper. Now, I've seen him take and make that shot consistently enough. He had to start taking it and making it. He wasn't even looking at the rim. He had no interest in taking that shot. If the shot didn't fall, okay, maybe you go to plan B. But he had to take it. He had to find out whether he could make that shot, because he had to make Anthony Davis respect him at that position on the floor, or he was going to continue to clog up the lane as he did. But the Lakers, just playing fast and defensively, were able to lock the Heat up if they were focused. And the Heat simply didn't have enough bona fide playmakers. Maybe if Goran Dragic had been 100%, that combined with what Jimmy was doing might have been enough. But as it was, they were looking to Tyler Herro to be the second playmaker on a championship team. And that was just a little too much to ask in this circumstance. So the best team won, without question. Who am I happiest for when it comes to the Lakers? Other than LeBron, obviously, because this meant a lot. This shut up a lot of people, me included, when it comes to his reasons for going to the Lakers. My feeling, and I still is, I believe that he decided to go there primarily because that's where he wanted his kids to go to high school. That's where he wanted to live. That's where he wanted to be in proximity to his production company, wanted to be able to take the Hollywood meetings when it comes to producing content. I believe all of that contributed to his decision. But he also made good on winning a championship. He showed that he wasn't in active retirement. He got this done. And my hat is off to him, because doing it at 35, the commitment that that required to have his body right, to come back from the shutdown and have his body right, to bring this disparate group together and make it work, all of that required a tremendous amount of energy and commitment from LeBron James. So I'm happy for him that he got this done. Four rings, balances the scales out a little bit, gives him a unique place among superstars who have won championships. The only one to say that he led teams with three different franchises to championships. That's a great notch to have in your belt. But outside of LeBron, the person that I am happiest for is Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. Think about what she's been through over the last couple of years. She lost her dad, Dr. Jerry Buss, and I know how close she was to him. I did a magazine piece on her, and it was in that she told me that she still keeps his glasses on a bedside table in her house to remind her to see the world through her dad's eyes. She had to wrest control of the team from her siblings. So basically had to go to war with the other people in her family in order to take control of the team. And now the pressure was on her to make good, to do something that she basically said they had not and could not and would not, and therefore would not honor their father's reputation. In the midst of all that, Phil Jackson, who she had been dating since 1999, broke off their engagement. You also had, obviously, the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, who I know that she was very close to. And those first couple of years, with her taking over control and firing longtime GM Mitch Kupchak and her brother Jim Buss, weren't very good. 35 and 47, 37 and 45. The Laker faithful were restless. They were thinking, Jeannie needs to sell the team. Needs to do something. She's not up to the task anymore than her brother Jim was. Then Magic Johnson comes in. Magic Johnson abruptly resigns as a result of turmoil between him and GM Rob Pelinka, Kobe's former agent. It was a palace intrigue, and Jeannie was strangely quiet through a lot of it. I faulted her for that. When you're at the top of the food chain and things are going badly, you need to address them, you need to explain them, and you need to give people hope. And she, for the most part, did not do that. But she obviously did right the ship, steady it, and through all of this, wound up winning a championship. So I am truly, truly happy for her. She has been basically a lifer when it comes to working in sports, being a female executive. She got it done. And I am thrilled for her. Puts her in a completely different light with the Lakers faithful and with, I would say, everyone concerning the NBA. The other person on my list is Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo coming in as a rookie, winning a championship with the Boston Celtics, a genius, a savant when it comes to orchestrating a team, and just a savant in general, if you've read anything about Rajon and his level of intelligence, that he would win a championship, a second championship, after basically being a carpetbagger, a journeyman through a multitude of teams. Sacramento not thinking he was good enough. New Orleans taking a pass. Dallas. And here he is, and he's basically the third piece of the big three that brought this home for the Lakers. Plenty of guys contributed. You can debate whether Kentavious Caldwell-Pope deserves to technically be that third piece. But for me, Rajon Rondo was the heart of making this work. If you don't have Rajon Rondo, the Lakers are not winning a championship. That's another element that I just did not anticipate. I wasn't certain when he was coming back or if he was coming back from the hand injury. This was the fifth hand injury that he suffered, hand surgery that he's had to undergo. And at his age, nearly 35 as well, I thought, and his history of breaking down in the postseason, I just did not have expectations that Rajan was going to be what he clearly demonstrated that he's capable of. He's, to me, as big a reason that Anthony Davis was the factor that he was, along with Anthony Davis simply imposing his will and going up against the Bam Adebayo and a variety of teams. I don't want to discount anything that Anthony Davis did. He came through. He's uber athletic and happened to play against a number of teams that played small. Denver Nuggets obviously being the one exception. So happy for Anthony Davis as well. But for Rondo, I believe if there was any doubts about him being a Hall of Famer, this is going to make his his profile very interesting for the historians. A guy who comes in and wins a championship, a guy who then bounces around the league and then goes to the Lakers on a minimum contract, and halfway through last season, if not the season before, Lakers fans were ready to get rid of him. Please don't put him on the playoff roster. There was a lot of that. There were a lot of doubts about Rajon Rondo before the shutdown. He answered all those. His shooting, his three-point shooting, aside from everything else, his ability to talk defensively, to organize, to orchestrate, to get the ball to the right guys, to compose the floor on a regular basis. There are a few guys that are better at that than Rondo. But what really tells you that he's a gamer, that he loves when the lights get brightest, was his three-point shooting. Now, the Heat, for the most part, dared him to take those shots. And I should have looked up the percentage, but I would say he damn near shot nearly 50% from three-point range, and he is not considered a three-point shooter. Although, not as bad as people think he is. Shoots over 30% career-wise, if I'm not mistaken. But postseason, it's over 40%. And he knocked down big shot after big shot. Didn't force anything, but took them when they needed to be taken, took them when he was dared to take them, and for the most part knocked them down. And that was one of the things that truly killed the Miami Heat, because they would design their defense in many instances, possessions, force Rondo to take a three with the shot clock winding down. The feeling is you've accomplished what you hope to accomplish, and then it bites you in the ass. There's nothing more demoralizing to a defense than that. So, enough about all of that. Let's get to the main affair, which is, why isn't LeBron James more popular? And I say that with all honesty, genuineness, because I don't feel that, first of all, I don't feel that he is. Don't mistake clicks with likability. He drives ratings. There's no question about that, at least social media ratings. He didn't drive these finals ratings. And he hasn't, for the most part, driven ratings when it comes to the regular season for the Lakers or for the league. And I wondered why that is, because you have a guy who's 35, who is a family man, who seems to support the right causes. Yes, he's outspoken. And yes, he sometimes speaks about things that he's not completely versed on. But I look across the landscape and LeBron James is rewriting the record books. LeBron James has taken a variety of different teams and carried them to the finals. LeBron is spoken highly of by a variety of teammates. So why does the general public find him more polarizing than popular? And watching these finals brought home one of the elements that I've long known is something that informs the way fans look at athletes. Number one, we like to root for underdogs. Seabiscuit had a movie made about it, the horse, racehorse, because it was a dramatic underdog going up against War Admiral. War Admiral doesn't get the movie made about it. Rudy, which I finally watched that for the first time the other day. What an awful movie. That is it's an infomercial for Notre Dame, but beyond that, it is so cheesy. My goodness. But Rudy, Hoosiers, we love underdogs. They're the ones that gather our attention and pull on our heartstrings. I believe that's what Jimmy Butler had going for him and the Miami Heat, because they weren't Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. They weren't the Toronto Raptors. They were the fifth seed taking the Eastern Conference by storm. LeBron, on the other hand, has only been the underdog twice. And I believe those were the times where his popularity was greatest. Both times being in Cleveland. First time was obviously when he came into the league. And when it comes to the national stage, getting past the Boston Celtics, getting past the Detroit Pistons, and ultimately going up against the San Antonio Spurs. He wasn't successful, but people appreciated that he got as far as he did with what he had to go through. And then when he went back to Cleveland and wound up in the finals against the 73-9 Golden State Warriors, again, that's when he was at his most popular and wound up winning a championship. But other than that, not really. And has at the same time, while being the favorite, the overwhelming favorite, the odds-on favorite, he has done what he did again tonight after winning this fourth championship, which again is, I think, explains a little bit why it's hard for people to wrap their arms around LeBron, in that he won and he talked about everybody getting their respect, Jeannie Buss getting their respect, Rob Pelinka getting their respect, and give me my damn respect. LeBron has been the favorite in so many instances, whether it's fair or not, and yet always has, not always, has often acted as the aggrieved, as somehow he is being treated unjustly. Now, he brings a lot of attention to himself, and he brings a lot of critics and a lot of questions, all legitimate in my mind. He said something else after the championship that I thought was very insightful, one of the most insightful things he said about himself, and I believe to be 1,000% true, which is that the 35-year-old LeBron would kick the 27-year-old LeBron's ass, would dominate him. And I believe that to be true. This LeBron James has things in his game that LeBron James did not. That LeBron James didn't shoot with nearly the same confidence. That LeBron James didn't have the mid-range game that this LeBron James does. That LeBron James didn't like to play with his back to the basket. And while he still hasn't perfected that craft, he's not afraid to utilize his size and strength. And that is at the heart of why he's not more popular. Why I believe that the ratings were a dud, other than when it looked like maybe the Miami Heat could pull off an upset. After those first two games, it was taking the ratings down, because it became clear, or at least seemed to be apparent, that it was a fait accompli that the Lakers were ultimately going to win this. And they were going to win it because, and this is what how the game in its transformation has benefited LeBron from a winning standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, and yet from a popularity standpoint has hurt him. And that he is now, in most cases, all too often, he's the biggest strongest player on the floor. That's not how it started with him. That certainly wasn't the case when he was in Cleveland the first time. And we saw it start to shift when he was in Miami. But since he went back to Cleveland, since the Warriors introduced the uber small ball, that's where the league has gone. And so as a result, everybody's gone smaller. Everybody's gone with bigs that are more agile and athletic. Anthony Davis's are now centers instead of bonafide power forwards who sometimes might even switch to small forward because of their skill set. I'm talking 15, 20 years ago. Seeing LeBron James bully Tyler Hero or even Jimmy Butler or Jay Crowder or Duncan Robinson, getting that switch, which is what their whole ambition was, run pick and roll and force Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson to guard LeBron. And now we're going to see LeBron just basically bulldoze his way to the basket. It does take a certain amount of skill, obviously strength and size. I don't begrudge him any of that. I was glad to see him impose his physical advantage. I've always thought that he should have played that way. Thought he could have been playing this way as a 27-year-old. And he didn't. Maybe that's he's evolved in some ways. He's added some things to his game that allow him to do that. But in essence, against the Miami Heat, he looked across the way and there was nobody there that intimidated him. There's nobody that was going to take him out of his game. Bam Adebayo included. And because he had Anthony Davis and or Dwight Howard, then because Bam was so important in so many ways, the Heat didn't want to run the risk of getting him in foul trouble by putting him on LeBron on giving him a steady diet of that. So, but we don't, watching LeBron bully guys that he clearly had a physical advantage over, I just don't think that makes for entertaining TV. People don't want to see that.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I believe Will Chamberlain suffered from the same issue in his day. Bigger, stronger, faster than anybody should have the right to be at that size. That's LeBron James. And to me, that's why, for all that he's accomplished, he's not being viewed in this way. And Steph Curry cannot do all the things that LeBron James can do. He has to figure out a way to utilize his skills to impact the game the way he has. It takes some work. And defensively, he can't have the same impact. He's not going to shut somebody down the way LeBron James did against Jamal Murray. He'll give you an effort, and he may play good defense, but looking to Steph to lock somebody up, you're not thinking that. You just want him to hold his own. But Steph Curry is beloved. Why? Because he's kind of that underdog. He's the guy, not just, you know, physically, stature-wise, is closer to what the average person is, but even on the court, he looks like, literally, he's the underdog. Allen Iverson, the same thing. Michael Jordan, because of the era that he played in. If he was playing now, might be a little different. But in his day, he had to get through the bad boy Pistons. He had to get past the beefy Pacers. He had all sorts of big physical teams that he, as a shooting guard, had to fight his way through. He was, as crazy as it sounds, Michael Jordan was the undersized, if not the underdog. There are some who want to attach LeBron's lack of popularity and the league's lack of popularity to the social justice stands that both of them have been very forward in making. There may be an element of that. I don't believe that's the central reason. If there are people that are not tuning in, honestly, I felt as if it was a mistake by the players to make that the primary thing that they wanted from the league in order to play in the bubble. Because after a while, I don't know about anybody else, but I stopped seeing the slogans on the jerseys. They blended in. It wasn't reminding me of anything. I don't even think the Black Lives Matter was on the court during the finals. If it was, I didn't even see it or pay attention to it. So I'm not convinced that that is what turned people off or prompted people not to watch. I believe it was the lack of, and I hate to say this because LeBron is right again in saying that the 35-year-old LeBron is better than the 27-year-old LeBron. He's a more skilled player. But there's not an artistry to his game. It is more brute strength than anything else. Yes, he's a passer, but and a great passer, but not a passer in the sense of Magic Johnson. That's what Magic Johnson was beloved, because while he was 6'9 and was far and away a monstrous point guard, there wasn't brute strength in his game. His being 6'9 allowed him to have the vision to be clever and artistic and creative in the way, Rajon Rondo for me and his passing is far more captivating than LeBron's. LeBron sets guys up, he sees the floor, but again, it's almost his strength in order to make 30-foot zip passes and to whip it with one hand that creates a lot of the opportunities, and his willingness, obviously, to pass it. And maybe I'm on an island when it comes to that, but watch a highlight reel of Magic Johnson and his best passing and assists, and it's no look, manipulating the ball. It's a dance, and it's beautiful. LeBron is beautiful in his own way, but you put those side by side, there's really no comparison. And I say all this because, honestly, I feel as if LeBron deserves to be more popular than he is. I've said it before, I probably said it in the last podcast. So much of what his lack of popularity or his polarization is by his own hand, by things that he's done and said. But even with that, look, he's a family guy. He's never been in serious trouble. He tries to do things for others. He's a good teammate. He's been, to put the time in and the focus in order to have the longevity that he's had, those are all admirable qualities. And it seems strange to say for someone who does not make him the GOAT and does not see him ever becoming the GOAT, that I believe that he deserves a little more appreciation for who he is. The problem always is those that have long been in his camp try to overdo it. And maybe that's part of where the lack of popularity comes from too, is that there's this this grab or this need to be seen a certain way, to be elevated or placed on a pedestal that people look at and say, I'm not so sure. We've seen the same with Jimmy Butler. For those who are looking at it and saying that the problems in Minnesota and Chicago and Philadelphia, obviously now because of what Jimmy did in Miami, is proof that Jimmy wasn't the problem in those places. No, not so fast. Jimmy has changed. Jimmy has approached things different in Miami than he did in those places. Jimmy came into those places feeling entitled and not understanding who he was suggesting he had entitlement over. You can say that Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were all supposed to take their games more seriously than they did, or they should have listened to Jimmy because Jimmy was all about winning. But you want to lead people, you have to approach them the right way. You have to get them to buy in. You have to convince them that you can take them where they want to go. Jimmy didn't have a track record for that. Jimmy didn't have proof of that. So he couldn't walk in with that. Now, the benefit that he had in Miami is that he had people like Pat Riley, by virtue of the contract he gave him, and Eric Spoelstra, and Dwayne Wade, people who did have credentials, who were saying, follow this guy, give this guy a chance. We believe in him, so you should too. And then he was given a young group of players, none of whom had accomplished more than he had, and they were like, okay, if that's what Pat and Spo and Udonis Haslam and Dwayne Wade are all saying, okay, we'll follow. I had a scout tell me that it's worked out perfectly for Jimmy in Miami, but it may have been the one place out of all 30 teams where it could have. It was a perfect fit, and it worked. But I look at what LeBron James did with Kyle Kuzma and Alex Caruso, and I mean, obviously he came in with the credentials, but kind of had to meet them halfway. He had to give Rajon Rondo a certain amount of license. He had to buck up Anthony Davis, and he had to take criticism from Anthony Davis. I wasn't hearing anything about Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia or Chicago or Minnesota that would suggest that he cultivated those kind of relationships there. On the other hand, did get that feeling, did get that sense in Miami. He was receptive in a way. And maybe once you get that big contract and you feel like somebody's finally put their trust in you, then you're able to do that. The one story that I'm hoping to write, because I know about his background, how he got to Marquette, how he came out of high school, and he was a stud, from what I understand. He was a stud high school player, and he was shocked that no one recruited him or offered him a scholarship. He ended up going to Tyler Junior College because he had no other offers, and he was a scorer. I mean, he was getting it done in high school, but there was something about the way he played or how he played that ultimately no one was interested. I want to know how much that experience, because this time around was really the first time where he was the central figure. He was the scorer, the playmaker. He was running the whole show for the Miami Heat, certainly in these finals and in these playoffs. And he wasn't that in Minnesota, Philadelphia, or Chicago. He came in as more of a defensive player than a scorer. So I'm really curious. I want to go back and talk to the people that saw him in high school, played with him in high school, and get from Jimmy how much this was kind of a throwback to those days for him and how much he leaned on what he did right and what maybe he did wrong back as a high school player. So once I find a place, my new writing home, I have a couple other writing projects going, but once I find a new writing home, that I hope will be one of my first pieces. So please look for it. All right, that does it for this episode of Bucher Friendless, subsidiary Bucher and Friends and part of the United WeCast Network. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget our sponsor, Mizzen and Main, the maker of performance sportswear, men's dress shirts, and slacks. In the next podcast, I'll be joined by Hall of Famer and legend Spencer Haywood. Played for Hank Iba and Bill Russell, played with Kareem and Magic, and is the reason that LeBron, Kobe, and every player in the NBA who did not spend 4 years in college is in the NBA now. Fascinating, fascinating conversation with Spencer. I look forward to presenting that to you. In the meantime, as always, thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.